And just to sort of recap where the basic pieces in 2 minutes from last week, so the primary issue we started to deal with was the seemingly two contradictory statements of Rabbi Shimon, one in his name, one in his Rebbe's name, as to how to relate to that period between dawn and sunrise. Meaning, in Rabbi Shimon's own statement, so you can read Kriya Shema before dawn and read Kriya Shema after dawn, and that takes care of the night and the day. And then, quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, he says that you can read Kriya Shema right before sunrise, and then read Kriya Shema right after sunrise, and you fulfill the obligation of the night Kriya Shema with the one before sunrise, which seems to be very strange, because if you read Kriya Shema right after dawn, Rabbi Shimon said you could be Yotzei the day Kriya Shema, and now you're telling me you can read Kriya Shema right before sunrise, and you'd say the night Kriya Shema. That seems kind of backwards. And then we also know that most mitzvos, Kriya Shema is not listed. Mitzvos of the day can be done b'di'evet from Amud HaShachar. Ideally, after Nates, Lulav, Megillah, various things related to Manatara, it has to be done during the day. So those can be done after Amud HaShachar b'di'evet, which made it strange that you could read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the night Kriya Shema at that time. And then we also know that from the Mishnah Daf Tes, that Kriya Shema Shel Shachris can be read sometime after dawn, not immediately after dawn, but when a certain amount of light is available. And ideally, at least what Abaye says, Kriya Shema, which seems should be read for Vasikim, which, and the purpose Abaye describes seems to be on Daf Tes Amud Beis, that you want to say Kriya Shema at the last moment before sunrise so that you can daven first thing during the day. And the focus there would seem to be not about the Kriya Shema, but rather that the first thing you want to do when the sun rises, literally with the sun rising, is you want to be reciting the Amidah. And if you also want to have Smicha Skul Tefillah, if you want Kriya Shema, Gal Yisrael, and davening to be right next to one another, so then the only way to do that is to read Kriya Shema literally right before the sun rises, which is a challenge in the ancient world. And the last piece was the Gemara in Yoma that spoke about the Nivresha Shel Zahav, the golden candelabra that Heleni Hamalka had placed in the Beis HaMikdash, this beautiful thing, when the sun would shine and it would reflect off of that, so people would know it was time for Kriya Shema, which suggests that the time for Kriya Shema is actually right after Hanetzah Chama, not right before Hanetzah Chama. Okay, so that's where we left things. And really, I have to add, we actually did read one more thing. We read a story, not the story of the Mishnah, but the story with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Two Talmidim had gotten drunk at his son's wedding. And they came to him very early in the morning before sunrise and said, Rabbi, we got a problem. We didn't say Kriya Shema last night. And he said that you can be somech upon Rabbi Shimon b'shchas adchak to read Kriya Shema Shalayla. Now, one observation that I don't think I made this last time, if I did, you'll forgive me for repeating, is that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's statement is a little bit interesting because he says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is of sufficient stature to rely upon b'shchas adchak. In circumstances of exigency. That type of a formulation suggests that Rabbi Shimon himself, and that's clearly the last one, it's not Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon and then Rabbi Akiva, that clearly suggests that Rabbi Akiva said it even not b'shas adchak. You know, everywhere else in Shas where you look and you say, Kedai, there's a famous example in Maseches Nida where Rabbi says, Kedai Rabbi Eliezer, lissimo halab b'shas adchak. Rabbi Eliezer articulated his position under, let's say, broader set of circumstances, all circumstances, and Rabbi was saying that you can rely upon Rabbi Eliezer b'shas adchak. But Rabbi Eliezer is much broader than what Rabbi is saying, and the same thing should be true here as well. Rabbi Yehoshua, when he says Kedai Rabbi Shimon b'shem Rabbi Akiva to rely upon b'shas adchak, yes, but that means Rabbi Shimon b'shem Rabbi Akiva said it even not b'shas adchak. There are circumstances that wouldn't qualify as b'shas adchak, and nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva articulated his position there, but Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said you can only rely upon that b'shas adchak. And here, defining what b'shas adchak means, which I did speak about at the end of the last year, I think, becomes very important. What is b'shas adchak? And here there's a machlokas harishonim. Some Rishonim want to understand Shas Adchak means B'diavad. In circumstances where you shouldn't have waited until then, but you did for whatever reason, whatever the reason was, it doesn't matter what the reason was. So you can rely upon Rabbi Shimon under those circumstances. That's one way of understanding Shas Adchak. The other way of understanding Shas Adchak is that it means a situation which was onus, where there was I guess, I don't want to call it duress or an accident, but it was something really, to some extent, beyond your circumstances. You're not a poshea, you're not negligent. And if that's what the statement means, then when you say that you can rely upon Rabbi Shimon b'shas adha, it means only when you're onus, only when it was sort of beyond your control. But if it were in your control, but you waited, you're a poshea, but now we are in a, what we call a b'dievet situation. You haven't done it. So if you read that way, then it means that at this point you can't be yotzei kriya shma. So let's take a look at the riff first. And I should say one more thing. Sorry to pile on the list. We paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. That was the first line of our Gemara on Chasam and Beis. Was Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. So I want to remind you, what did Rabbi Gamliel tell his children? They said, they came home and said, Abba, you know, we didn't read Kriya Shema. What do we do? And Rabbi Gamliel said to them, what? What was the cutoff point? Anyone remember? With or without looking in the Mishnah?
Amud HaShachar.
Amud HaShachar, right? He didn't say Netzachama. He didn't say to them, if the sun hasn't risen yet. He said, if dawn hasn't come. Now, the implication of that statement is that if dawn has come already, it's too late for Rabban Gamliel. So the question then is, how do you match the psak halacha of Rabban Gamliel that dawn is the absolute cutoff point versus Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi paskening like Rabbi Shimon b'shem Rabbi Akiva, that b'shas hadchak, you can read all the way up until sunrise? In other words, are these two positions, is there any way to reconcile them? Or is there really a machlokas? And if there really is a machlokas, you have something very strange going on in the sugya. Because the sugya opens with a psak halacha like Rabban Gamliel, but then concludes by, and the conclusion of the sugya is usually what we'd assume is what governs, is what should determine the final conclusion. The conclusion of the sugya is, Kidayu Rabbi Shimon l'smocha l'b'shas adchak. So how do you put these two together? Unless you're going to argue that Rabbi Gamliel's children were in a different situation than those two children who got drunk, those two Talmidim who got drunk. So those are sort of all the pieces here. So now I'm going to share with you, for those who don't have the riff, and let me find it. All right, let me make this a little bigger so that... be very clear. Okay, so you're now looking at the riff. I cut off from the previous page. Well, I could show you the last two words are Amar, right here at the bottom that I've highlighted. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Karaban Gamliel. So that was the opening statement of our sugya on Ches Amud Beis. Now the riff quotes the Brises Tani Rabbi Shimon Hai Omer Pa'am Shadam Kori Kriya Shema, etc. We don't have to read the entire thing. I'll bring you down to the next point. And then this is where the riff begins his own language. And remember, and maybe we mentioned this before, the riff is sort of like a rewritten Talmud Bavli. The riff, if you wanted to write the riff, not that any of us could write the riff, but basically you start with the Gemara and you generally don't use a cut and paste. You just use the cut. You delete a lot of stuff. You delete most of the Agada. You delete most of the dialogue, the Shach Levitaria. And then, but the interesting part of the riff, for the most part, is what the riff adds in on his own, which tends to be a very small amount of material. But here he has actually a very lengthy excursus where he's not just quoting the Gemara. So the riff, where I've highlighted here, says the following. Vahani kulhu hilcha saninhu. All of these statements, which means Rabbi Shmuel's psak, like Rabbi Gamliel, that you can only read until dawn. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's suggestion that you can read Kriya Shma Shachris right after dawn. So far, that's okay. And then finally, Rabbi Shimon's psak in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that you could read Kriya Shma Shel Arvis up until sunrise. So the riff says all of them are in agreement. They're all psak halacha. So the question is, how can that be? So the riff explains. He says, Mihu, Hada Abam Rabban Gamliel, that which Rabban Gamliel said that you can only read until dawn, and Ud Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the first, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in his own name, Ad Sheyala Amar HaShachar, that you can only read Kriya Shma Shel Arvis until dawn, Bidi Eved Hu. It's Bidi Eved, okay, but we sort of knew that already, but now here's the catch. The riff is about to say something stunning. Va'afimu, I Ovid Hachi B'mezit, even if you deliberately waited past Chatzos,
Vikara... Past Nates.
No. Past Chatzos, no. Remember, he's trying to first explain.
Right. Chatzos Halayla.
Right. After Chatzos, you deliberately wait. Look, he's about to say, you're supposed to read Kriya Shema first thing in the evening. If you didn't read it first thing in the evening, the Chachamim say you can read it to Chatzos. But this guy waited, bemazed. Not he was honest. He waited until just before Amud HaShachar. So the Rif says that we pass Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, number one, in his own name, who say Achila Amud HaShachar, that is a B'diavad case. But B'diavad means, it means if you did it. It means Afilu I Ovid Hochi Bemezid, Vikara Kriya Shema, Kodem Shila Amud HaShachar, Nafik Yedei Chovase, your Yotza, your obligation. The Afal Pi She'eno Rashai Lasas Kei, even though you're not allowed to do that. And now he says, the Tanya, a brisa that we learned many weeks ago on Daf Yom Lamed Aleph, Chachamim Asu Shagli Debrem, Kidei Shelo Yehe Adam Bomin Asada Be'erev, the sages made a fence that a person shouldn't come home from the field in the evenings. The Omer, Eilech Lebesi, the Ochal Kim of Eshta Kim, I'll go home, I'll eat a little, I'll drink a little, V'Isham Kim, I'll sleep a little, V'Achaka Echa Kriya Shema Mespala. V'imchot Fato Shina, Nimsa Yashen Kol Alayla. Ela Adam Bamin Asada Be'erev, you're supposed to come home, Yelech Lebesa Knesses, or Lebesa Medrish, Imrag Yelikros Korev, Imrag Yelishno Shona, you learn a little bit, V'Achaka Kore Kriya Shema Mespalel, Okay, so far the Rif says the way you put the Psak of Shmuel like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's first Lashem, that's a B'di'evet. B'di'evet means no matter why you waited until right before Amud HaShachar, you're Yotze with the Kriya Shema. But the Ha, the Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, and this is his Rebbe's name, Pa'amim Sh'adam Kore Kriya Shema Shel Arvis Kodem Honitachama, that you can read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis Ad Hanetzachama Dafka Bishas Hatchak. So this is so interesting. We have a very common
expression. He said Kodem Hanetzachama.
No, correct. Kodem Hanetzachama, but after dawn, before sun. I'm sorry, I said before sunrise. So normally, a very common expression, which is obviously not always true in the halachic literature, is Shas Hatchak K'di'eved Dami. Right, there are things that you're not supposed to do, but you're yotzei b'di'evet. So we would say sometimes in a very pressing situation, you can already do that, even though you're doing it what we would call l'chatchila. We would call it ipso facto. Right? You're going to do it, even though you know it's not ideal, because it's a shas hadchak. So often we say shas hadchak k'di'evet dami. But here, the Rif is distinguishing between these two terms. On superficially speaking, shas hadchak is always before the fact. B'di'eved, by definition, it means if you did. B'di'avad is always after the fact. So even though we often say shas hadchak k'di'eved dami, so the Rif is saying that's not true here. D'eved means if you did it. It doesn't matter why you did it. If you did it post facto, you fulfilled your obligation. But shas hadchak is, in effect, more powerful. It's before the fact, but you're in a situation with circumstances that may be beyond your control. So the Rif says that you can only read Kriya Shema of the night after dawn, as long as it's before sunrise, Bishas Hadchak. Kigon, he says, Mi Shehaya Shikur Ochola. You were drunk, you were sick. Now, Aval, Im Asa Kain, continuing to the next page in the Rif, B'mezid O B'pshia Lo Yatsa Yudei Chavasan. If you did it on purpose, you waited, or you were just reckless. And now it comes after dawn, before sunrise, and you want to read Kriya Shema, you don't fulfill your obligation. The Amridan, as the Gemara, how does he get that? Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Amar ha'ad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi la befeirish etmar, ela mechlala etmar. That's the Gemara on Daf Tes, where Rabbi Yitzchak said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's psak was not stated explicitly, wasn't articulated explicitly, but rather it was inferred from the story. Dahanu zuga the Rabbanan dishtaku bilula the brave Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The story was the two students who got drunk, falo karu kriyashma, also the comrade Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Luhu, Kedaihu Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yochai, Lesmoch, Allah, Bishas Hadchak. So he says you can rely upon Rabbi Shimon, B'Shem Rabbi Akiva, you can rely upon it only Bishas Hadchak, when it was beyond your control. Now I know that some of you are probably going to take issue immediately, as did the Baal Hamor. I'll ask you the question. Were the two Talmidim the night of Rabbi Shub and Levi's son's wedding, was that Poshea, or was that Shas Hadchak? So I would have said, here I have to say, I find the Baal Hamor's approach a little more appealing. which is, that's not shasat chak, that's idiocy, right? When you go out drinking at night and you drink too much, and then you wake up in the morning and you miss zman kriya shma, it's like, duh, and you're surprised. Maybe it was it was the first time these two students had ever tasted alcohol, so they had no idea it was coming. That seems highly, highly unlikely, by the way. But, you know, imagine maybe that would be the case. That's pretty wild. But the Rif says that that is considered shasat chak. It's not poshea, it's not mazid. But if you were a poshea or a mazid, the Rif says you could not fulfill the obligation of kriyash mashal arvis after dawn. And then he says, V'chaim, hod the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Amar, pa'adam shakore, adam kore kriyash mashal shach, v'slachai shalom nashachar. The Rif says both statements are in effect the b'di'eved. B'di'eved who? Reading Kriya Shema right after dawn is a b'di'eved, inami b'shas hadchak, or b'shas hadchak. So there the Rif, it's not clear which position he's adopting, but whereas reading the night Kriya Shema after dawn is only b'shas hadchak, not b'di'eved, reading the Kriya Shema shoshachris immediately after dawn, is considered either b'di'eved or shasat chak only. And he says, kigom yishayimashkim latzeis l'derech v'chayot zebo, avol l'chatchil alot. So here what the Rif means is the following. Reading Kriya Shema of the day right after dawn is also not ideal. We read last week the Gemara in Daf Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah of the Gemara, there were a whole bunch of different opinions. When can you reread Kriya Shema? Either Rabbi Eliezer says when you could distinguish between or the Tanakhama says you can distinguish between Tcheles and Lavan. And Rabbi Eliezer says between Tcheles and Karti. And in the Gemara, you have Misha Yakir es Chavero. And Rabbi Akiva, of all people, said when you can tell the difference between a domesticated donkey and a wild donkey, between a Chamor and an Arod. I think there's another Shir in the Gemara. So L'chatchila, you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema in the morning until sometime after dawn. And if you read it before then, as long as it's after dawn, then either b'shas adchak, like someone who has to go away on a trip and he has to leave early because the caravan is leaving early, or maybe b'di'eved, if you did it even shouldn't have, maybe you yotzei then. So that is the way the Rif puts all these pieces together. Now, the Rif later we will see, I believe, holds that the ideal zman of Kriya Shema goes only up until sunrise, kivasikin. After sunrise, you can read until the third hour, but it's b'di'eved. That, I believe, is the Rif's position. And so according to the Rif, if we try kind of step back for a moment just to see what pieces he has solved, what pieces he hasn't solved, at least explicitly. So we understand how we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, that b'di'eved, meaning even if you poshe amazed, it's good only until dawn, kriya shema of the night, and ditto the first statement of Rabbi Shimon. We understand why after dawn is already considered day. So the Mishnah in Megillah, which lists all of those things that are ideally after Hanetz, but b'di'eved after sunrise, it fits with that. The second lashon of Rabbi Akiva, of Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, is that in a shas hadchak case, you can read Kriya Shema up until sunrise. What pieces sort of are left hanging for the Rif, and everything on Daf Tes Amud Beis that we looked at last week makes sense. What is that? Ideally, you're allowed to read Kriya Shema, and you're certainly yotzei Kriya Shema after dawn, and certainly ideally up until, but must be before sunrise. What's missing? Two pieces are missing, which the Rif doesn't address. Number one is what to do with the story in Yoma, with the golden flashing candelabra of Hileni Hamalka. In other words, that sounds like you're reading Kriya Shema at sunrise, not before sunrise. And the second issue that he doesn't address, and he really glosses over almost, is what actually is Rabbi Shimon b'shem Rabbi Akiva's position? Because after all, the language of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Kedaihu Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas hadchak, implies that Rabbi Akiva actually said his position even shalo b'shas hadchak, almost as if Rabbi Gamliel's position is that you can read Kriya Shema until dawn. B'di'evet, meaning even if you were a posheya, even if you did it on purpose, you still can read until Amud HaShachar. And it would seem that maybe Rabbi Akiva's position is that you could read until Amud HaShachar, even b'di'evet also, not just b'shas atcha. It's not clear. How do you parse that statement for the Rif of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? But the Rif doesn't tell us. The Rif just says the way we paskin, we can accept Rabbi Gamliel's as the psak, we can accept Rabbi Shimon number one as the psak, and we can accept the psak of Rabbi Shimon number two, b'shas hatchak. Okay. So that was what the Rabbi, the Rif sort of put all these pieces together. And what it means for the Rif Shita, by the way, and so what it means, the bottom line for the Rif is as follows in terms of times. Night Kriya Shema L'chatchila has to be read first thing at night or at least until Chatzos. That's called L'chatchila according to the Rif. From Chatzos until dawn, according to the Rif, b'di'evet. No matter why you delayed, you can read Kriya Shema. From dawn until sunrise, you're only able to be Yotzei the mitzvah when it was sort of beyond your control. What he calls Shas Hatchak, not a mazid, not a poshea. Now, what is the ideal time of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris? So the ideal time of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris begins, begins Misha Yakir at a certain point where you have a little bit of light after the dawn, but not at dawn. And L'chatchila, it goes up until sunrise. B'di'eved, under all circumstances, for sure, you can read in the next 3 hours. And then either B'di'eved or maybe B'shas Hatchak, if you read right after dawn, because let's say you have to go on a business trip or something, so then you're Yotzei with that as well. Now, two comments I want to make about the Rif. First, one thing that I received in an email shortly before Shabbos from Lenny. I did read your email, but I'm sorry I didn't really have the time to respond. Lenny was observing, you didn't say it this way, but how diligent they were, and they used to get up early and so on, and we're kind of lazy and we get up late. You didn't use the word lazy. But is that a fair sort of observation?
Yeah, in fact, I tried this morning. I wanted to see what it's like, and it's not so easy.
So I will comment both from personal experience and a limud zchus on Klal Yisrael in general. So I happen to be from the early risers. And when I'm in season, and even now, say I usually arise at 4 or very, very close to that. And I do what I do. I run in the morning, I learn in the morning, and so on. It's not hard to do that. You just have to go to sleep earlier. In other words, I'm asleep between 9:30 and 10, so I get up at 4. Mm-hmm. I happen to found that this is, generally speaking, a great system. Works for me, at least. Not everybody's clock can easily align that way, but I make that observation. But I would say the following. The what's described by Chazal, the Vasikin part is a challenge because they didn't have clocks or watches, so timing things could be very difficult. But getting up was the norm because they lived in a world where you didn't have artificial lighting. I can recommend to you a book. I can't remember. I know that the professor's name, he was at least many years ago at the University of Virginia, some University of Virginia, Eckerch. I think Roger Eckerch, E-K-I-R-C-H. And it was about when night turns to day. I forget the name of the book. I don't have it on my shelf right here. But it's one of my favorite books for a long time. I had seen an anticipatory blurb for it, but it took a few years in Smithsonian, which I like to read for light reading. And finally, at some point, it finally came out. One of my Talmidim sent me an email, said, it's out on Amazon. And it's basically mostly a collection of primary sources. But the thesis of the book is that before the invention of artificial lighting, the experience of human beings in sleeping was totally different than it is now. They're apparently, my wife who teaches about coffee as coffee or coffee course, so nightlife is very much influenced by coffee. So she's actually unearthed that there's a big machlokus about this issue. And it may be that human beings have different kinds of sleep patterns. But what he argues, and he amasses a lot of evidence from sources from the pre-modern world, including some Talmudic passages and things of that nature, is that people used to have two sleep periods and they used to have a wakeful period in between. So it's a really interesting, if I remember, if you remind me, I'll send out a link to the book. But what is clear is that before the advent of artificial lighting, people used to go to sleep basically when it got dark. But contrary to what many of our college students and high school students think, left to your own devices on a regular basis, you would not sleep 15 hours a night if there was no one getting you up. That's not what would happen. Human beings need probably in the range of 7 to 8 hours of sleep and don't really need more. Most people actually don't need more than that when they are getting regular, consistent sleep. So what happens is that people get up naturally, often, depending on the time of year, often long before it actually got light. And they had to wait until you had enough light to go out to work in the fields. So it's not that I think that we are any lazier than they are. It's just that we have, because of artificial lighting, and I think because the human circadian rhythms actually tend towards lengthening towards a 25-hour cycle, once we have artificial lighting, we just stay up later. I'm not going to argue whether I don't know whether it's biologically better or worse for us. Maybe it's worse, but I don't think it represents a moral failing or, you know, a great diligence on their part and a laziness on our part. I think it's just a different world which we occupy. So I still highly recommend, if it works for people, works for me, the early system, but I don't think it's because those who get up at 4 a.m. are more diligent than those who get up at 6:30 or 7. It just means that you know, go to sleep early or later, respectively, in most cases.
Yeah. So, Rabbi Weider?
Yes.
A more recent book by Professor Matthew Walker called Why We Sleep, which is also insanely fascinating for many reasons, has a related but somewhat different theory, which is that the reason there are early risers and late risers, and that is actually hardwired, is essentially to protect the collective, because you needed to have the community be watched basically around the clock in the ancient days of yore, whether sort of ancient times or the like. And so having half your population sort of wanting to get up at 4 and half of your population wanting to go to sleep at 2 was actually very positive. And he also has a whole chapter on the reason that teenage sleep patterns change is that teens can begin to break away from adulthood, from their parents, essentially, in adult life, by having a different schedule. So they have sort of secret private time with their peers, which in almost all cases is long after their parents have gone to bed, as a way of sort of easing into a new structure within society. Okay. There's a lot in the book about evolutionary biology and a lot about sleep, which is fascinating. But just on your two points, I think those are a couple of his insights that seem relevant.
Okay. Thank you. The only thing I do wonder about that, and again, I obviously haven't read the book, is I wonder what the evidence that people used to go to sleep very late. But anyway, please send the link, and I'd like to take a look. Okay. So anyways, but Lenny, that was in response to your comment.
Rabbi.
Yes, Isaac.
Yeah, Rabbi. So according to the Riv, there are situations where even if you are over, bemezit, you could still be yotze kriyat shema. My question is there any other area of halacha where you're by design, on purpose, not doing it, and you could be yotze? It just seems like a highly unusual thing.
So Isaac, I'm going to point out, I'm going to flip it on you. I think you're asking the question the wrong way, but I'll answer your question first anyway. The answer is yes. Well, most situations where we say you're not supposed to do something, but b'di'evet, it's chal, it works, whatever. That's what b'di'evet means.
But he says not b'di'evet. He makes a distinction b'di'evet, and he makes a distinction b'mezet.
No. Shas hachak and b'di'evet. B'di'evet means b'mezet. B'di'evet means no matter what the reason is, if you did it. B'shas hachak means only, might even be in advance or afterwards, when you were honest. The rift, the b'di'evet for the riff, and I think the standard interpretation means after the fact, for whatever the reason. But every situation where we say that b'di'evet, something that you did works, I don't care if it's gittin, kiddushin, dinim, amanos, it means you shouldn't have done it, but if you did it, you know, that makes it, still, it's good. Right? Just take the lulav example. You're not supposed to take a lulav after dawn until sunrise. But if you did, b'di'evet, you did it already, and that's the only time you took the lulav, you're yotze. You know, so that's what b'di'evet means, I think, by definition. But I want to flip your question in a different direction, which is what's the novelty here is remarkable, actually. I'm gonna sort of step out and formulate this question in a different way. We know, Chazal tell us that the rabbis have a lot of power, but they're not all powerful. They have the power to uproot Torah mitzvos on at least a temporary basis or as part of a gezerah to prevent us from doing something else, right? We don't blow shofar. This year, Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, I believe. So this year, nobody, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what shul you're going to, not going to, nobody should hear Tkiyah Shofar on first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Second day, we'll hear Tkiyah Shofar, hopefully all of us, most of us, but that's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, Yom Tov Sheni. Same thing comes Sukkos. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there's only one day mitzvah d'oraisa of Lulav and Esrog, of the Arba Aminim. That will be the first day of Sukkos this year. Sukkos comes out like Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. We will not take the Arba Aminim on Shabbos. We will vatel the mitzvah d'oraisa. How is that? Who are these rabbis? Who do they think they are? So the Gemara in Yevamos in the beginning of the 10th perek, after a lengthy discussion, comes to the conclusion that the Chachamim have the power to uproot a Torah precept passively, b'shev v'altase. In other words, the Chachamim do not have the power to allow us to consume food that is not kosher min haTorah, but they have the or to violate Gilei Arayos, to declare, let's say, a married woman single, where min haTorah she is married. They do not have that power, because by doing so, we will actively violate Torah law. But if it is a passive violation, right? We don't take lulav on first day when it's Shabbos. We don't blow shofar first day Rosh Hashanah when it's Shabbos. If you have an Issa D'Rabbanan standing in front of you on Shabbos, preventing you from doing the milah, you're not allowed to violate the Issa D'Rabbanan. All sorts of gzeiros. There are sometimes we have begadim that are obligated in tzitzis because they're linen, four corner, but you're not allowed to put tchela, and the Torah allows you to put shatnez on it, but the Chachamim didn't allow you to do so. Tons of cases where the Chachamim uproot Torah law passively. Okay, so that's the deal. Basically say, don't do the mitzvah, we're responsible, God won't be mad at you. But I want to sort of flip the question on its head. Do the Chachamim have the power to tell you that where the Torah says there's a mitzvah saseh to do, and you go ahead and the Chachamim say, don't do it, and you go ahead and you do it, do the Chachamim have the power to say, don't fulfill the mitzvah? That sounds like a very, now on the surface, that seems to be absurd. It seems to be absurd because who cares what the Chachamim think in this case? The Chachamim told you not to do a mitzvah because they were afraid it would lead to X. You go ahead and you violate the Issa D'Rabbanan, but you've done the mitzvah d'oraisa. So ultimately, did you fulfill the mitzvah or not? So on some level, the answer is, who cares? The time has passed. Who gets to decide? The answer is God. God is the one who gets to decide whether you get rewarded or not. Right? So is it even conceivable, whatever it would mean, for the Chacham to say that even though you did the mitzvah, we somehow dissolve your fulfillment of the mitzvah? It's as if you didn't do it. And it seems absurd on the surface. There's a Gemara in the Perek Chelek, the last Perek in Sanhedrin in the Bavli. There's a Gemara that says that the Mishnah says that there are three kings and four non-kings who have no share in the world to come. And the Gemara says that the Chachamim wanted to add one king to the list who also should have no chelek in Olam Haba. His name was Shlomo HaMelech. And David appears to them in a dream and begs them not to do it. And the Gemara goes through a whole story. You know, fire comes down, I think, burns the stools in the base medrash. That didn't deter them. Finally, a voice comes out of heaven, quoting a pasuk, which essentially says, God speaking, I get to decide, not you. I'm the gatekeeper for Olam Haba, not you. So it doesn't really matter what you say. That's the end of the Gemara. So I think the same question here. Would we even consider the possibility, for whatever it means, that if I did a mitzvah that the Chachamim told me not to do, because let's say somebody goes ahead, and in about 9 weeks from now or so, 8-9 weeks, whenever it is, Rosh Hashanah, they blow shofar.
On Shabbos.
The question is, will you mekayim a mitzvah or not? I don't know what the practical difference would be, but are you mekayim a mitzvah? So do you say, and again, and you, not all rabbinic zeres have to be the same, but do the Chachamim even have the power to say you didn't fulfill any mitzvah? Now, the cases where it might matter would be situations where you could, it won't work by Rosh Hashanah, but let's say you had a scenario where you did the mitzvah. Let's take a Kriyas Shema Shachris case. Could you have a time where min haTorah you could read Kriyas Shema Shachris? It doesn't hold true, but I want to sort of give you the kind of case you're looking for. You could read mid d'oraisa Kriyas Shema Shachris, let's say right after dawn. But let's say the Chachamim come along and they say, we hold, you're not Yotze if you read it immediately after dawn. The Nafgamina, the practical difference would be is if you read it then, and now you come and ask a Shaila, do you have to read it again later? Like if you can. So the truth is, when you think about, I'm not going to go further down this road, but in terms of other cases, but I want to bring it back to the context of the Rif. It's very, very strange, the Rif's claim. The Rif is telling you the following, that if you read Kriya Shema after dawn, before sunrise, so I'm going to ask you the following question. Is that time called B'shachbecha or not? Is that time in any way labeled as Zman Shchiva, a time that people are sleeping, going to sleep, however you want to translate it, or is it not? Because if it is, then, and if the Chachamim are willing to say that if you were honest, B'shas Adchak, beyond your control, and you didn't read Kriya Shema yet, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema after dawn, before sunrise. So you're really saying that min haTorah, you can fulfill the mitzvah then. It's called Zman Shchiva. So then what does it mean to say, but if you did it b'mezid, you waited on purpose until after dawn, you're not yotzei? What does that mean? What exactly does that mean that you're not yotzei? I mean, if min ha-Torah, it is a time that's acceptable to do Kriya Shema. The Torah, when it says b'shachbacha, doesn't discuss b'shachbacha, b'ones, b'ratzon, b'mezid. The Torah doesn't add any caveats. The Torah gives us two time periods, b'shachbacha uvikumecha. If you define this time period, and it's possible, by the way, a time period could be both or neither. But if you define this period as being at least b'shachbacha, that b'shas atchak, after the fact, onus, you're able to read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So then, if you read it even b'di'evet, meaning when you waited b'mezit to do it then, what does it mean to say that you're not being yotzei?
You should be yotzei, you're right, 100%.
So I want to just point out that buried in this riff is a radical conception, the idea that it's almost, again, I don't know what really means you're not, I know what it means. The day, it's time is gone. It's not like you're not yotzei, now do it. It's not yotzei, and it's passed, it's all gone. I don't know if the... But it's almost as if the Rif might be stating that the Chachamim not only have the power to exempt you from fulfilling a mitzvah asay of the Torah, but they have the power to dissolve that obligation. And therefore, if you do it, from a Torah perspective, it's as if you actually haven't done it. Again, I don't know what God does in his ledger, but it's a remarkable assertion in terms of the power of a rabbinic decree.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
So now, but bottom line is that was the Rif's position. That as far as the night Kriya Shema, b'di'evet l'chatchila before Chatzos, b'di'evet until dawn, b'shas hatchak until sunrise. And the Kriya Shema of the day is from dawn until a little after dawn, maybe b'di'evet, maybe b'shas hatchak. From that time period, Mishayakir, until sunrise is l'chatchila, and after sunrise is b'di'evet. Even b'mezid, if you waited 3 weeks Kriya Shema, that's fun. You're still yotzei, but it's less than it's not ideal. Okay. The Baal HaMor.
Quick question.
Yeah. Sure.
In Tashlumin, when you forgot to say Bincha, but I forgot. You were close to amazed. You knew it was time to da Mincha, but you didn't. You put it off and. And then suddenly it's too late. It's already Tzeis HaKochavim. So you have to do Tashlumin and say an extra Shmon Esrei for Mincha. Is that only B'shas Hatchak, or is that?
I think it's only B'shas Hatchak. I think I don't know about. I'm not sure about Poshea, where Poshea is classified, but I believe the Mezid you can't. There's no din of Tashlumin. But there, that's a din the Rabbanon. Even if tefila is doraisa, 3 tefilas is certainly the Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon's takan, and remember, you could always volunteer a tefilas nedava if you wanted, but normally, certainly b'shogeg or b'ones, if you forgot to daven or something got in the way, you weren't able to daven, so there's a takan of the Rabbanon to daven after the tefila bismana, then you daven a tashlumen. But that's only completely on a Rabbanon level, I think. So I'm not sure that it's going to shed. And in other words, there's no novel point there in, you know, difference between Mezid versus Shoke. Okay. So the Baal HaMor was not happy. The Baal HaMor has some very interesting positions. We're going to read at least part of the Baal HaMor. And it has a very clean reading in certain ways and very conceptually very neat. Although he has to come up with his own very interesting categorizations. I'm going to once again share my Bar Ilan with you. Okay, and now I'm going to make the Rif disappear for a moment. And now we have the Baal HaMor. Okay, let me just go to the beginning of it. Okay, so the Baal HaMor first quotes the Rif, and the Baal HaMor's words begin here. The Baal HaMor says, "Va'anan kashalon b'divrei haravzal." We have a problem with the Rif's approach. Heichi mizake shtara lebeitrei. How can you say that a shtar belongs to two different opposing people? In other words, if you have, for example, if you have a loan document, the shtar that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, the shtar either belongs to Reuven or it belongs to Shimon. Meaning, If Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, either he still owes the money and the shtar is Shimon's, or he paid it back and the shtar is Reuven's. The shtar can't be both. It's contradictory. And that's what the Rif is doing here as well. He says, Deha ilin tarti b'raisin the Rabbi Shimon, pligi ahadadi. These two braises, says the Baal Hamor, are incompatible. They argue with one another. Vehechi efsher lemisak hilchasa kitarvayu, the sasri hadadi. How can you say that we paskin like both of these braises? Va'anan lo chazinan hachi. Doesn't work that way. Ubein braisa kamaisa. Ubein braisa basraisa. The difference between these two braises. Ika beinayu bein amur hashachar lahanei tzachama. The point of debate between the two versions that Rabbi Shimon quotes, his own and his Rebbe's, is how do we label the period between dawn and sunrise? We all understand that the period before sunrise, before dawn, is called Bishach Becha. And we all understand that the period after sunrise is called Uvikumecha. But, and the Baal Hamor is assuming that a period of time can only be one, can be one or the other. It can't be both. So he says, Ubein Braisa Basra Ika Beinai Ubein Amun HaShachal HaNetzach Hama. Likamaisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, who said that you could read Kriyashma right after dawn, Kriyashma of the day right after dawn, Chazi L'Sho Yom. That period effectively is called Uvikumecha. Well, Lebraisa, where is it? And Lebasraisa, L'Sho Laila, it belongs tonight. Uzmana Shel Kriyashma Zo, Enozmano Shel Zo, L'Divre Hakol. L'Marke de Islay, U'L'Marke de Islay. So the Baal Hamor says that, again, each party agrees, both Rabbi Shimon in his own name and Rabbi Shimon in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that Kriya Shema Shel Arvis ends, Kriya Shel Shoshachis begins, and they're just debating what the cutoff point is. Rabbi Shimon himself says dawn, Rabbi Akiva himself says sunrise. Uzmana Shel Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, so Lesof Leshel Shachris, Bein Lebraisa Kamaisa, Bein Lebas Raisa. And now, how do we paskin, says the Baal Hamor? Uche braisa bas raisa kaimalan. We paskin like the second braisa, meaning that and they have to think about what he means when he says this, and it will become clear. Firstly, the Baal Hamor is stating that the time between dawn and sunrise is considered night for the purposes of Kriya Shema, which means you cannot read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris at that time. You cannot read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris even b'di'eved right after dawn. You cannot read it after Misha Yakir. You cannot read it 20 minutes before sunrise, even though there's lots of light. You cannot read Kriya Shema at that time. Why? Because we paskin like the second braisa, right? Uche braisa bas raisa kaimalon. And he'll explain why in a second, which means that if you read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis up until sunrise, your yod say that, and you have to read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris after that. Now, where did the Baal Hamor come up with that? And you have to realize immediately, this is a deeply problematic position because it's against the Mishnah. It's against most of the opinions in the Gemara, right? The Mishnah had two opinions. When can you start reading Kriya Shema? Bein Tcheles LaLavan, Bein Tcheles LaKarti. Rabbi Akiva and the Brice and the Gemara says between a donkey and a wild donkey. The one that we postulate is Misha Yakir Es Chaveir Barachot Dal Ramos, when you can recognize your somewhat familiar friend within four Amos of you. So all of a sudden, the Baal Hamor is claiming those are all wrong. Every one of those positions is wrong. Why? So now the Baal Hamor tells you why. Mishum the pasak Abaye l'kriya shma kevasikin. Now, Abaye says kriya shma has to be read like vasikin. Now, I'm going to spill the beans a little bit on the Baal Hamor. I hope we should finish this now, I hope. The Baal Hamor is about to develop a thesis that there are actually three time periods related to sunrise in the morning. We assumed that it was quantum, before and after. But the Baal Hamor says, no, there's before, there's during, and then there's after. Now, we'll get to how he classifies each one. It may be obvious what we're coming to. We'll see in a moment. Now, remember something the Baal Hamor knows, which he's probably going to, he's about to allude to, although I don't know if he's going to, he may explicitly reference it later. He knows the Gemara in Yoma about Hileni Hamalka's golden candelabra. Now, when did that candelabra shine?
So,
Nate, everybody assumed when the sun rose. But if you think about it for the moment, the sun rising, in, to some extent, depending how you want to look at it, is a process. The Baal HaMoor doesn't describe it, but I would describe sun's rising, the three stages as follows. Before any part of the sun is visible above the horizon, that's called Kodem Hanetz. When the entire orb of the sun is visible on the horizon, that's called L'achar Hanetz. Between when the top of the corona of the sun starts to show up, and then until the full circle is up, that's called Betoch Hanetz Hachama. That is what the Baal HaMoor is about to say. Now, you understand that that's how the Baal HaMoor is going to solve a lot of problems, but the first thing he solves with that problem, with that solution, is the story with Hilenia Hamalka and reconciling it with Abaye's Kriya Shema Kivasikin. Right? Abaye said that the Kriya Shema Kivasikin, so that you daven right at the beginning of the day, and as Smicha Skula Tfila. And the Baal HaMoor will say the Tfila begins as soon as the sun has risen completely. Yira'ucha im Shemesh. And when do you read Kriya Shema? While the sun is rising. And that will explain why Hileni Hamalka's golden candelabra is perfectly consistent with Abaye's position. Now, I'm spilling the beans on that because in order to understand the next line and the position that he disagrees with, but mostly agrees with, but kind of disagrees, you have to understand Rabbeinu Tam's resolution to the problem. And I might mention this a couple of weeks ago. Rabbeinu Tam, when faced with the problem of Kriya Shema Kivasikin, understands however he solves Abaye, Rabbeinu Tam says that real Vasikin, the ideal time of Kriya Shema, is right after sunrise. As Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have this three part before, during, after sunrise. Like most of the Rishonim, he has before and after sunrise. But Rabbeinu Tam says, from the story of Hileni Hamalka, you see that really what Vasikin is with Hanetz Hachama. However you deal with Abaye's formulation, but the bottom line is doing Vasikin properly for Rabbeinu Tam means when the sun rises, that's when you say Kriya Shema, and then immediately afterwards, you say Tefillah. Okay, but the Baal HaMoor doesn't like that exactly, so he says the following: V'yesh misha mefaresh leKriya Shema kivasikin, klomar zman Kriya Shema shoyom lebidan, kizman Tefillah levasikin shul mishas hanetz hachama. In other words, the way I think this is Rabbeinu Tam's, the whole thing. The position he's citing here is the following. We know what the Vasikin did. The Vasikin said Kriya Shema right before sunrise and started the Amida right after sunrise. So this position that he's citing, I believe Rabbeinu Tam, says that when Abaye says Kriya Shema kivasikin, Abaye wasn't saying you're supposed to read Kriya Shema the way the Vasikin read Kriya Shema. Abaye was saying you're supposed to read Kriya Shema the way the Vasikin daven tefillah. The Vasikin, for whatever their reasons, chose to daven right at Hanetz, right when the sun rose. But we are not supposed to do that. Abaye is saying that we're supposed to read our Kriya Shema the way the Vasikin did tefillah. And that now reconciles it with the Gemara in Yoma. Hileni Hamalka's thing shines for Kriya Shema right as the sun rises. That's when you're supposed to read Kriya Shema, like the Vasikin's tefillah. So the Baal HaMoor quotes that. And then he says the following. He says, "Ki ikar divrei vasikin mishum tefillah, v'hayu mevi'in raya l'zeh peirush." Forget what the. I want to skip over the proof for a second. Hold on, let me just move down a little bit. Let me just skip over that one line. V'zeh peirush ena mechuver etzli. He doesn't think that this is correct. Afal pi she'ula ole biyodenu le'inyan psak halacha. He agrees with Rabbeinu Tam in terms of psak when you say Kriya Shema. He doesn't think that's what the words mean in Abaye. And now the Baal HaMoor lays out his thesis. He's going to roll it to the top. Top line. V'nira li sheshlosha shirim hein. Echad kodem hanetz hachama. V'echad bihanetz. One before sunrise. One in the sunrise. V'echad la'achar hanetz hachama. And now the Baal HaMoor is going to say, are you telling me I'm making up things? He says, no. Talking about whether people are contradicting one another in terms of Edim. So that Gemara discussing when we assume it's just that Edim didn't have watches, so they can't give you the exact same time because they didn't have watches, versus they're contradicting one another and you have to throw them out. So the Gemara there speaks about three different times: before sunrise, during sunrise, after sunrise. So now the Baal HaMor says, "Lamadu misham, lefi hashalosh machlokes amachlokos shenebusham ki gimel zmanim hein." There are three times: the kodem hanetzachama, before sunrise begins, before the tip of the sun rises above the horizon. Chazi lekriyash mashalayla, the losh l'shoyom. That is Rabbi Akiva, right? In other words, you read kriyashma shel arvis. Kodem Anetzachama, Rabbi Akiva says you're Yotze, maybe Bishas Atak, whatever that is, we'll talk about that in a second. The Av Shalaila Nami La Shapir Dami Lemi Abed Hachi Lechatchila. Obviously, nobody thinks that Lechatchila. Ela Kidetanya Bebraisa Adam and Asadab Erev, we read that, etc., etc. The Im Abed Hachi, the Baal HaMor, and here's the key point. The Baal HaMor says, E Abed Hachi Afilu Bimazin. If you did that on purpose, you waited till after sunrise, to after dawn, before sunrise, Yotza Yidecho Vaso. That's what it means. Kedai Lismocha La Bishas Adchak. Now, Vahoditzanam Bimasnisan, Omar Lehem Imlo Alam Rashacha Mutaramatem Likros. Ah, but what about Rabban Gamaliel's position and Shmuel Paskin like Rabban Gamaliel at the beginning of the Sugya that you can only read Kriyashma up until sun, up until dawn? As he said to them, Bishamis Minei, Ha Im Alam Rashachar Asurim Likros. What do you do with that psak? Three magic words. Lo kaimalan kivase. We don't paskin that way. We reject Rabbi Gamliel. The af agav the posak Rabbi Yehuda amar shol k Rabbi Gamliel. Even though Shmuel paskins that way, anan ad the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai mishum Rabbi Akiva samchinon mishum the misayele the abayid amar the kriyashma kivosikin. Okay. So the Baal HaMor says, we don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. We don't paskin like Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. We hold that you can read Kriyashma up until sunrise. A Kriyashma shel Arvis up until sunrise. Yes, it's b'di'evet, but it doesn't matter why you did it, why you waited. You're still Yotze. Now, he's got still a little more to go. Now, v'itzderech k'Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai mishum Rabbi Akiva, v'itzderech nami kivasikin. You need both of these. The e me Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, if you only had Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's psak of Rabbi Akiva, that you can read Kriyashma shel Arvis up until Neitz, Hanetz, and then Kriyashma shel Shachris after Hanetz, Hava Amina Dafka Le'achar Hanetz Achama Hu Dechazi L'Shel Yom. That's the key word, only Le'achar. But Aval Bishas Hanetz Achama during sunrise, lo, you would have thought that, Kamash Melon Kivasikin. No, ideally is like Vasikin Shayu Gomer Osa. Im ha-neitzachama, what does that mean? L'lamed ha-sheshas neitzachama, k'achar neitzachama, l'kriyashma shel yom. Firstly, once the sun has started rising, b'tok ha-neitz is like after ha-neitz for reading kriyashma, which you can read kriyashma shel yom. Ve'od she'ika mitzvah min ha-muvchar b'shas ha-neitzachama. The ideal time is during ha-neitzachama. Okay. And then, I'm going to skip over this next comment of the Baal HaMor for a moment. I don't want to deal with his Raya's discussion. And then he says, V'imi the Vasikin, if you only have Vasikin, Hava Amina mitzvasa im ha-neitzachama, the ideal time was during Neitz, but V'i Akdim, Misha Sha'alam Arashachar, Yotza. But okay, let's say you read it before ha-neitz. You read it after dawn, I would have thought you're Yotze. Kamash Malan, the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, that ha-neitzachama, right, the Kriyashma Shalaila. That time you can read, until dawn, you can still read Kriyashma Shalaila, and therefore, Vimkara Shalyom Lo Yatza. You are not Yotze. And then he quotes a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says, Garcina B'Yushalmi Imhane Tachama, Rabbi Zechariah Braid, Rabbi Yaakov Barzavdi, B'Shem Rabbi Yonah, Kidesh Tehemetach Tefes al Rashay HaHorim. Speaking about Kriyashma Imhane Tachama, it means the sun, like, is dancing, is shimmering on the tops of the mountains. It means the sun has risen already. The Asya had the Garcina Biushami, Kahi the Garcina Begmar Dilan, Nivret Benivresha Shel Zahav, Amar Abaye, Lishar Ama de Biushalayim. Abaye says in Yoma that the purpose of Hileni's Nivresha Shel Zahav, or golden candelabra, was for the rest of the people in Jerusalem. The Kohanim and the Mikdash had to read way early, like by dawn, because they had so much avoda to do and so on. But only they were allowed to read then. Everybody else, if you read with them, the Gemara says you're not Yotze. But Lishar Ama de Biushalayim, Abaye is telling us that's the time, a proper time, ideally of Kriyashma. But Abaye al-Ozel Tame the Pasak Kacha Kibasikan. And he goes on to point out, the Gemara there says you're not Yotze if you read it earlier. So he says the following: Atalomed shakore shema kodem hanetzachama aval pisha ala amur hashachar lo yotze yedei chovasa. And v'chosh enos man kima. So you're not yotze right after dawn. V'chosh enos man kima mibod laila. So it's not considered zman kima all night. But im hanetzachama miha zman shchivahu. Up until sunrise is still nates. V'chazi l'kriyash mashalayla afal pisha yikra oso b'mezid. Even if you did it on purpose. Even if you did it on purpose. So I'm going to stop reading the Baal HaMor here, but basically the Baal HaMor's position emerges as follows. Firstly, the Baal HaMor's psak is that you can read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, L'chatchilat should be read at the beginning of the night or up until midnight. B'di'evet, no matter why you did not read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, you have up until before sunrise, before the sun begins to rise. If you read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris before the sun begins to rise, according to the Baal HaMor, nothing doing. Doesn't work. You're not Yotze. You have to read it again after the sun has begun rising. The Baal HaMor says that Vasikin means reading Kriyat Shema during the sunrise, and that is the ideal time, but you can read it even after the sunrise. Probably it's still L'chatchila, but it's not Mitzvah Min HaMufcha. You can read up until the end of 3 hours. So how does the Baal HaMor's position work? How does it work within the sources? So firstly, the question of the Psak of Rabban Gamliel, with respect to up until dawn, we don't paskin that way. Because Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai both hold that you can only read Kriyashma at night up until dawn, and you cannot read it all afterwards. He says, we don't paskin like them. We paskin like the second Lashon of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the name of his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, that you're able to read up until sunrise. And the Baal HaMor understands that Shas HaDchak and B'Yevet are the same thing here. Because he says later, the drunken students at Rabbi Shimon Levi's son's wedding, that's Poshea, that's B'Yevet. That, there's no difference between Shas HaDchak and B'Yevet here. And the Baal HaMor says, with respect to the Abaye Vasikin is during the sunrise. And that fits now with the Gemara in Yoma, that Hileni's candelabra shone, if people were going to use that as the sign for Kriyat Shema, that's right as the sun begins to rise, but you still have a few minutes until the sun goes above the horizon completely. And the only thing that the Baal HaMor does not address, I don't think he addresses explicitly, but the answer is obvious, is what about the Mishnah in Megillah that says that you can do b'di'evet, mitzvahs of the day, as soon as dawn has come, but l'chatchila you're supposed to wait until after sunrise? The answer is yes, for the purposes of Yom, so it's called Yom when dawn comes. Day begins from dawn and goes till Tzeis HaKohavim, or until sunset, or something like that. Sure. However, with respect to Kriyat Shema, Kriyat Shema is not a mitzvah that's dependent upon Yom and Laila. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah that is dependent upon Zman Shtifa and Zman Kima, and the Baal HaMor says that one period, any given moment in the day, can only be Zman Shchiva, or can only be Zman Kima. It can't be both. And there's an irreconcilable fight between Rabbi Shimon and his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. And the Baal HaMor says, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that the cutoff point when we transition from Zman Shchiva to Zman Kima is the beginning of sunrise. And therefore, b'di'evet, whatever the reason is, you can read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis up until sunrise. Once sunrise begins, you can no longer read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. You can, and ideally should in that period, read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, but you can continue to read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris until the end of the third hour. Okay. If you want to know Psak Halacha, we don't have to do more. But it's a fascinating position.
Peter?
Yes.
So what does the Baal HaMor do with the next Mishnah, Mishayakir? That seems to be happening before Nates in Alos HaShachar, that we could... You can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in the morning, Mishayakir.
So the Baal HaMor answered that. He said, we hold like Abaye. Abaye is in that sugya. When Abaye says, L'Kriyat Shema Kivasikin, it's after the Mishnah and a series of opinions amongst Tanoim, and Abaye says, no, L'Kriyat Shema Kivasikin. So the Baal HaMor says, here, we pass like Abaye. Abaye is holding like Rabbi Akiva in our sugya, and it's a rejection of the Mishnah and of all the opinions afterwards. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. So anyway, I think next week I want to do a tiny bit more on
this. So say one more time what halacha is.
So the halacha is not like the Baal Hamor. We assume that the ideal time of Kriya Shema, one is permitted l'chatchila to read Kriya Shema Mishayakir, whatever the recognition is, whatever you're distinguishing between. Certainly, mitzvah min hamufchar is to read it right before sunrise, the beginning of sunrise, and to daven tefila as the sun begins to rise. That's certainly mitzvah min hamufchar. The time period after sunrise, until 3 hours, is a machlokas harishonim. Some rishonim say it's good b'di'evet, and some rishonim say it's good l'chatchila. In other words, when we say Neitz is mitzvah namofchar, but the question is, what is the ideal time for Kriya Shema? Is it from Mishayakir until Haneitz, or Mishayakir until the end of 3 hours? So that's a machlokas. What you are highlighting, and Lenny might like this now to say, maybe since it's a machlokas, and I don't remember which way the Shulchan Aruch paskins on this issue, maybe we really should shift to the purposes of Kriya Shema Shachris, at least all the men who are strictly obligated, we should start shifting our sleeping cycles so we can read Kriya Shema before Haneitz Achama. I mean, there are poskim, by the way, who would say it's better to say Kriya Shema Kivosikin and Daven B'Yechidus, and Daven Mincha, right, Daven Shachris, right after that, then to wait for a minyan later. That position, by the way, makes a lot more sense if you say that reading Kriya Shema after sunrise for 3 hours is b'di'evet. If you say it's l'chatchila, then it's not as easy an argument to say you should better daven b'yechidus, daven alone, kivasikin, and rather than daven b'tzibur. But if you believe that reading Kriya Shema after sunrise is already only b'di'evet, it makes a lot more sense to say better to daven Kriya Shema before sunrise and ideally kivasikin if you can hit it. And then daven tefila b'yechidos and get smicha school tefila rather than daven a minyan. I don't think the common practice is most people wait to daven b'tzibur even though they're reading Kriya Shema after sunrise. And most people read Kriya Shema after sunrise, Lenny, because our entire world has shifted. So,
Rabbi.
Yes.
So what does that mean for Yishach Bacha up until Mishayakir?
So we are going to paskin, I believe. I have to check in Shulchan Aruch, but we paskin that we treat it as b'shach b'cha only until dawn, unless it is honest, unless it's shas hadchak, like the riff, and then if it was shas hadchak, we treat up until haneitz achama as b'shach b'cha also.
Okay.
Okay, I want to talk about that just a little bit more at the beginning of next week's shir, because there's one piece in the rush I want to do on the sugya, wrap up review, and then move on in the Gemara.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Thank you. Good class.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody have a good week.
Good week. Thank you.